Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next. My name is Jay Moran, and this, of course, is Buffalo, Toronto Public Media. Today, we're going to get into business development in the east side of Buffalo, a program called Reach East with us. The person who designed the program, Tamara Zantel. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning.
And also the facilitator, one of the facilitators of the program, Zandra Cunningham. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Great to have you here with us because just in our little time before we went on the air here, a lot of excitement about this program. But I guess let's just start from the beginning. From where did it start?
Absolutely. So Reach East is a collaboration between the Exchange of Beverly Gray and the Foundry, sponsored, supported by the Ralph Wilson Foundation and in partnership with their Regional Revitalization Partnership as well.
Okay.
So they got together. We got this amazing funding, and both executive directors, I'll say, Megan McNally and also Derek Parson, spent a lot of time, you know, surveying what's actually available to entrepreneurs in our ecosystem, specifically on the east side.
Okay.
Trying to understand how do we, with the funding we received, fill the gaps? How do we serve small businesses in a different way so that we're not overlapping or repeating something that's already been done?
Okay.
And one of the initiatives, because we have so many that came out of that amazing funding, became this Reach East Marketing Accelerator. And that's how we got here.
Okay. All right. So let's break it down. So you've had two cohorts already.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is eligible for whom? Who can qualify for this?
So we're trying to hyper-focus on East Side businesses.
Right.
So there is a list of zip codes, which I know can be very confusing on the website. But the idea is we're trying to support East Side businesses.
Yeah.
So either if you have your residence on the East Side, your business is on the East Side, or you primarily support East Side residents, or your community or customer base is heavily on the East Side, then you can qualify for Reach East.
Okay. So who have we seen come in so far? I mean, if you don't want to get into specifics of the names, but let's talk about the types of businesses.
Yeah, I can share some.
Sure,
I feel like most of our businesses are very proud to have come to the program. So
yeah, I don't see why not. We should plug them in.
That's fine. That's fine.
I guess we can just talk about just our fresh graduates that just graduated the second cohort back in July.
Yeah.
We had La Movement, which is a fitness company.
Okay.
So that was new. I think that's the first fitness company we had thus far.
Yeah.
We also had a skincare line called Melanin Skin come through, which is really nice. We also had a makeup artist that had a makeup.
Jazz Me Up.
Yeah, Jazz Me Up, which is really a cool and unique concept because it's different than just, you know, I do bridal parties and wedding makeup. It was more so like...
She does mortuary makeup as well. So part of her brand development and brand messaging she developed throughout the program was, you know, I am here to support you through all phases of your life.
Oh.
So from the baby shower to the wedding, or the wedding, then the baby shower. The wedding, then the baby shower. And then for, you know, and then through life's different transitions, you know. So that was a really interesting, she's definitely standing out from any other makeup artist in our Western New York area.
I was about to say,
yeah.
I would think.
Some of the past in our first cohort I'd like to recognize is Rada Baked Goods.
Okay.
They came through and did an amazing job. Heartfelt Construction, OFA Construction.
Yeah.
And I have some interesting stories to talk about. with Romero, because he was one of the entrepreneurs. One of the things we realized is that some people come in completely ready and waving their hands.
Sure.
Because they've like dipped their toe in the marketing waters a little bit. And so they're like, oh, you know, I've tried this. I'm not afraid of it, but I just need a better system. And then some people are like, what is this marketing thing? Y'all keep telling me I need it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here because you said I need it, but I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. You know, so it's everyone has a different experience in the program.
Do you find though? So it's interesting to hear, like you said, maybe a lot of people come in with the idea that I'm not really sure if I know what marketing is all that much, but you know, what are some of the things that you do see that, you know, right off the bat, maybe like, boy, you're missing this or you're missing that. Are there certain things that you're finding, certain basics?
Yeah, I would say with the social media, because it's such a big and utilized tool, and it's like number one tool to use when you're starting something and you want to create brand awareness. Obviously, like, you use the free platforms, but I will say what we found out that was very consistent, either they had no consistent platform, like not even their own personal Facebook page or anything like that, or they had all of that and it was just very confusing and you got a different vibe where you were like, what do you sell again? Like, it was just very confusing. So you're like, I see you showing up and you're really loud, but I'm so confused and it's not translating well to your customer. So I think,
and you're able to have those conversations.
Yeah.
People, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Cause we're really hands on. We go through it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're like,
so be ready, not just for support, but support in the idea that maybe there's a little, I would use the word tough love or looking in the mirror, right?
Yeah. Definitely tough love.
And our mentors do a really good job at, you know, relaying that and just listening, you know, to the entrepreneur, then also to, you know, saying like, okay, well, that's a great story, but we want to tell it to the world. So we need to, you know, make it simple, concise, and, you know, making sure that we're able to translate in the best ways possible. So they do a really good job. And also to the mentors, you have four great, amazing mentors. They're able to meet outside of our six sessions all day Saturday. So their job is to also, you know, meet with them weekly or, you know, a couple times a month.
As needed, really.
Sure.
So that we're staying on top of it. So it's not like we're just coming on Saturday, you guys are doing the work and go, and then we don't hear from you for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
We don't want that. We want it to be, you know, hands-on and make sure that you're actually, you know, reaching those milestones and you have some results.
And you mentioned, you said that's an example you used, that's a great story. Now let's tell the world about it. But what about the other way? Does everybody have their story together?
Absolutely.
Does everybody need that kind of?
So one of the things, if we can back up a little bit, one of the things specifically with this second cohort, Xander and I spent a lot of time, you know, really vetting. Our entire team did, really.
Sure.
You know, we brought the EDs in. We put together a whole like committee to really choose, you know, because I think first round we might have gotten over 100 applicants. And then this last time we got about 68. We could only choose 8 teams.
Right.
So it wasn't easy, you know, but we had to vet the teams. Okay. So vetting looks like,
so you have to look at a potential, right?
Okay. Yeah. So what they do is they fill out the application. Mm-hmm. We ask them an extensive amount of questions, right? They have to create a video, give us links to their social or website, anything that they have that's, you know, community facing. And then we vet that. We literally do a deep dive and do an audit of all their platforms so that we can see if they're, first, are they showing up already? Because if we already have a team that's already showing up, it means that you have the potential, right? It's like you have the desire, you understand the importance, you just need some guidance.
Okay.
But if you're silent and we don't see you anywhere, but your video is amazing, it's like, okay, maybe there's some potential, or your application is amazing and your video is amazing, and we see nothing, it's like, let's have a conversation about that, right?
Okay.
So we might call you up, pull you in, ask for an interview and say like, you know, well, what's going on here? Some people are just really afraid to show up on socials.
Sure.
Some people are just really afraid to be judged,
So what do you think they're afraid of? Are you going to say because they're, it's
judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I think they hide that judgment behind, I don't know what to say.
Okay.
I have no idea what to say. It's like, of course you do, right? Because if we put a camera in your face or give you a microphone and say, tell us about your business, most entrepreneurs that come through this grit and decide to sign up for this thing that is not really shiny and roses, and it kind of sucks sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
so like, if you're in it and you've been in it for years, like you're committed and you have a story and you're passionate about what it is that you want to do and the people you want to help. So if you sit across from someone like me, I'm going to pull that passion out of you. So now it's our job through this program is to teach you how to pull that passion out of yourself and then consistently show up in front of your community and relay that passion in all these different creative ways. You know,
yeah.
So it's a lot of people. That's a lot of people's barriers. It's the fear of judgment. I don't want to be on camera. And every excuse we've heard, and we've been able to overcome them all.
You've been able to overcome them.
We've been able to overcome them all.
Whether it's because, like, I don't have a look or I don't have the voice for it. And it's like, yes, you do.
Right. But or through the work of our mentors, that's why our mentors are so critical to this process, we find what's comfortable for you. I'll say comfortable loosely because we're here to stretch you.
Right.
Because growth.
But you want to highlight their strengths.
Highlight your strengths and not your weaknesses. But we also want to, maybe you think it's a weakness and we see it as a strength.
Gotcha.
So there's the work for us to show you, to really get you to see you and how powerful you really are. And that people that are, there are people out there waiting to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually hurting the community or whatever niche that you're in by not showing up in all your glory, because there are people that won't get to experience you.
Right.
You know, and so when you share that with people, they're like, oh, so people need me. They do want to hear what I have to say. Absolutely they do. So now we have to come up with a way and some creativity, a strategy, a marketing strategy, so that you can show up. Yes, you'll be stretched a little. I can't say you'll always be comfortable, but we're going to make sure that you're not compromising your integrity or you're not feeling like, you know, if you really feel like you're going to get sick every time you turn on camera, okay, maybe there's some things, there's marketing, tons of marketing strategies we can implement that don't require you to be on the camera all the time, you know? So that's the customization part. And that's where the mentors and the programming that we built really kind of, you know, works through those things with each team.
You mentioned the mentors, and I want to get to that. Now, let's talk about who, again, you can be as specific about who they are, but more about, you know, from where do you get this pool of mentors?
Yeah, so that's a very important part of this process. All of our mentors are connected to the East Side.
Okay.
Why? Because representation matters.
Absolutely.
Right? We wanted to make sure that the teams that walked in the room or when they were matched during orientation with their mentors, they were excited by who was going to guide them through this process.
Okay.
You know, so we really chose people that are really doing the things that they say they are. So it's like, you cannot be a Reach East mentor if you're not showing up. If you don't have a marketing strategy or a marketing plan, you also can't be a Reach East mentor if you're not kind. If you don't know how to deliver, you know, like really weird or tense news without, you know, respect or integrity, you know, because we don't want to break spirits, but we do want to stretch you. You know, we want to give you and give you the tools that you need while also empowering you to show up as your best self for you and your business and your family. So that's part of the process of how we chose the mentors. And I can mention a couple of them.
Please.
That's okay.
Of course.
So we had the one and only Adriana Viverett.
Okay.
She is a speaker and radio personality, very, very popular in communications across the Western New York ecosystem and really beyond. She has a new collaboration with Revolt TV. She's just really, really doing an amazing job. And she brings a really diverse skill set to the program. We also have Portia Iree, who is an expert in the PR.
I'm sure you've, quite frankly.
See? Yes, and she is definitely a diamond, a rock star, patient, kind, always poised, just being able to talk each team through whatever it is they're feeling in the moment, you know, being able to read a room and just always having the right, know what the right thing, you know, the right words to say. So she's definitely a gem to the program. And then this round we had Kenyatta David for the second time in a row. And she is a marketing specialist, specializing specifically in email marketing. She understands the full breadth of marketing, but her niche is email marketing and that behind the scenes communication that really, really matters that many small businesses never implement.
Right.
Money is made in the email and that follow up. You think, and I tell the teams when they come on, like, you think about how many times you punch your email in or give your email at the register in any store, and how many, you get like four emails by the time you get to your car.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, email marketing matters.
Yeah.
And then we had Jahaira Zapatas. She is an amazing first human. She also is a marketer. You know, from top to bottom, she runs an agency, does brand development, brand identity, and also builds websites. So she understands that marketing ecosystem. She understands like SEO and why do you need this? Like, what is your website? What should it look like? And she also runs a small business in an agency. So all of these entrepreneurs, all these mentors are entrepreneurs. And that was done on purpose.
Right.
Because we need you to understand not just about how to like help the teams with their business, but also with themselves. So when they're having a freak out moment or sales are low or I posted and it didn't land, you can speak from a position of like, you know what, I've been there too. And here's how I overcame that. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you see someone on that level, the impact is so much greater.
We are talking on What's Next today with Zandra Cunningham and also Tamara Zantel. We're talking about Reach East, the marketing accelerator program that helps out East Side businesses, East Side entrepreneurs, maybe a better way of describing
yeah,
it,
yes.
for sure. As a matter of fact, I want to go just a little in here. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, Zandra, but you, at a very young age,
yes.
were an entrepreneur. Yeah. I remember hearing about your story. I think you were 9 or 10 years old, mm-hmm. and here you are. You just popped up here on in our studio today, and here I get to meet the legend.
Yeah, over a decade
yeah,
later.
Over a decade ago. Tell us about your company and how it started.
Yeah, so I started my company when I was, I got the idea when I was 9. It became an official company when I was 10-ish, 11-ish. Uh-huh. But yeah, so my company is Zandra Beauty. It's a plant-based skincare company. Premium plant-based skincare company that I created at the young age of 9 is driven on girls' education and just education in general. That's really, really important to me. And, you know, we sell a range from, you know, our lip balms to body scrubs to soap bars to cleansers to all those amazing right. products that you can find. And my products are sold in stores across the nation.
I want to repeat that. Your products are sold
in stores, across
the nation. And it started right here
in Buffalo. In Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, say what you want about Buffalo. I feel like Buffalo is very, I feel like people say it's really small, but it's really not that small when you think about it.
Right.
But I think we are the city of good neighbors because I feel like in the beginning it took a lot of, you know, trial and error to get, you know, people to realize, you know, like young people can be interested in entrepreneurship and it wasn't a lot of programs. So it was a lot of challenge to get people to like, you know, to understand it. But then I feel like once they started seeing me, like after maybe like the first or second month of me like going to different events and then just be like, who is this little girl that keeps popping up? Word got around really fast. And then it felt like, you know, it felt like all together, like we were just totally embraced and recognized for a lot of things. So I feel like starting here in Buffalo definitely scaled my business kind of early, I feel like.
Sure.
It did.
And I mean, even still to this day, I feel like world travel fast about, you know, now there's so many more programs and outlets that are really interested in detrimental in like getting young people interested in entrepreneurial.
Yes.
I mean, now they're doing admin as electives in high schools now. That was not a thing before.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that it's like, you know, inspiring change in the mindset that you don't have to wait until you're, you know, official adult, whatever that looks like to you, whatever number you want to attach to that.
Sure. Sure.
You know, you can start before you finish high school.
Right.
You know, or start college.
And I'm going to turn then to you tomorrow because you're in a really interesting position to mm-hmm. kind of analyze this. But now that you're talking to these entrepreneurs who are trying to get things to the next level, but you can look at what Zandra has done. What do you see inside of her approach and what she did in her story that serves as a lesson, maybe can serve as lessons for these other entrepreneurs who want to follow suit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Zandra and her story are definitely an example of resilience.
Mm.
Resilience and overcoming the odds. And that's part of why Reach East exists, if I could just bring it back there just a
of
little
course.
Bit, only because, you know, entrepreneurial ecosystem is thriving, right? Small businesses are there. They're everywhere. But they don't have the access. They don't have access to the network, to the support, to the funding. So many opportunities are being lost and they're seeing them, but they don't, or they might be afraid to apply for them or to step out and raise their hand, you know? So when we relate that to Zandra, she's starting so young, the entrepreneurship space or the, you know, this at the time, I think when she was like 12, 43 North was coming out
sure.
and like all these, the innovation center, like Buffalo was being recognized, you know, for the work that we do and that we're making videos about us and all these things. And it was like, okay, but where does she fit into that? Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of, as a young entrepreneur, as a
right.
10, 11, 12, 15,
right.
16, 17-year-old, right? So that was the big question that I asked myself all the time. And I feel like these small businesses are asking themselves the same thing. They're seeing it on the news. They're seeing it. And, you know, they might even sign up for the networking event or get a ticket to go watch some big company pitch for millions of dollars. But they're trying to figure out where do they fit into that, you know,
yeah.
into what's happening.
Sure.
So this program and the work that we're doing is kind of helping them navigate that, you
yeah.
know? So we're doing it a little bit different on purpose.
you know, so that way they can be resilient, or they're already resilient. They're already thriving. They have this strong culture and innovation and ideas and, you know, personality and attitude. And just to even start, right, you have to be a rock star. So it's like that, all those boxes are checked.
Right.
Now we just want to position you in a way that other people can see how brilliant you are. Other customers in the community and everyone can see what you have to offer and how awesome your product is, so that they can come and start emailing you, come sliding in your DMs, asking you, you know, like, how do I work with you? So those opportunities can start to flow. Opportunities for Xander didn't start to flow until we were extremely loud. She had to be very, very loud. She had
everywhere.
To be in every single room.
Everything.
Every room. I had to make sure, as her mother, by the way, I don't think I said that.
That's right. It's all right.
I had to make sure that it was undeniable. Her presence was undeniable. She was almost omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work hard. And I think it's been 10, 13 years, 14 years, some of those barriers have been broken down, which is great. You know, but we still have a ways to go where those that are historically marginalized communities feel like they have the same opportunity or reach as their counterparts.
We're coming down to our final 4 or 5 minutes here. So I want to, you know, get back and focus on Reach East. And that's what we're talking about, Reach East, the entrepreneur program on Buffalo's East Side. So one of the key elements to this is there is a money investment made in the graduates of this cohort. So up to $5,000 is available if you go through this program.
Yes.
And so obviously, A, that explains why it's so competitive to get in. But what about that? What about what this company or this entrepreneur has to do to basically earn that money? What's the expectation?
Oh, the expectations are plentiful. Mm-hmm. But clearly we've had 16 small businesses come through. It's not impossible.
Right.
So they have to be present. We're really looking for teams that are ready, excited, and that are willing to be present. And I use the phrase teams because we understand that it's not easy to leave your small business on a Saturday all day. So you can send a team member, right? So each team could be made up of 1, 2, 3, or 4 people. So we have to have your presence at every session. There are 6 sessions all day Saturdays from 9 to 4 p.m. You have to show up. You have to contribute. That's it.
You get homework, right?
Yes, you get homework. You have to do the work.
That'll scare off most of them.
Exactly. It's like, what? I have enough to do. No. But this is really important, right? This is really important.
Right.
And we phrase that right from the beginning. We frame that and get those expectations and really do the mindset work right in the beginning. Like, this is not going to like any other thing. You just sat in the room and listened to someone talk, maybe took a note or two, and then you went home and you didn't think about it. No, you are going to think about this marketing system that we are going to help you build, and you're going to connect with your mentor. Xander's going to email you every 2 days and we're going to stay in your face because you're going to do the work. And that work looks like building out your marketing plan. It looks like revitalizing or starting your social media platforms.
Right.
It looks like creating content. We spend, and I do want to mention this, we spend an entire day at Brand Hive Buffalo, downtown Buffalo.
Mm.
We have a collaboration with Brand Hive and Jess over there. Amazing. It was amazing where they actually implemented what they learned. Created brand videos, took photos, just all the content that they needed to create so they can put it out on their socials and they can become visible. And that's part of the big mission here is visibility and building out that marketing plan. They also had to be prepared to pitch their business, not pitch for the 5,000, but be able to pitch in articulately, is that the right word?
Yeah.
In the most articulate way, let's say that.
Excellent.
In the most articulate
way.
Yes, very.
To be able to present their business. A lot of us are that passion business, right? But we don't know how to talk about it. Or we, you know, it's 20 armpits, we freak out when it's time to talk about the baby, which is their business. So we help them design that brand story, and then they have to be able to share it in front of everyone. You know, they have to contribute and support each other because entrepreneurship is a very lonely experience. It can be for many of us, and they need each other. It also turns into almost like a mastermind of sorts where they support each other, they guide each other, they brainstorm together. And once we start to see all that, you're good to go.
Gotcha.
Like, we cultivate the experience for you. We lay out. Xandra orders amazing food and we also try to support small businesses and Eastside adjacent or inside Eastside Buffalo businesses doing that too.
Good.
Say that 5 times fast.
I know.
We're very intentional about all the things to make sure they feel comfortable and they feel represented, they feel confident, and they feel supported overall.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Again, more information at reacheastbuffalo.com.
Yes.
It's the way to find out a little bit more. And you can find out more about Tamara Zantel and Zandra Cunningham, our guests today, on What's Next. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you
for having us.
Tamara Zantel and Zandra Cunningham with us on What's Next. When we come back, we hear from Naila Ansari Cotillo as she talks with Dorian Winthrow Jr. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
The headlines don't stop. The world keeps moving, and through it all, you need news and information you can trust. That's where we come in. WBFO is now Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. Same station, same trusted journalism, just with a new name. From Morning Edition to All Things Considered, from Group Chat to Friday Night Lights, from What's Next to the BBC, we bring you the stories and smart conversations that matter. No spin, no nonsense, just the perfect mix of news, information, and entertainment. Listen anytime on the BTPM Listen app or btpm.org.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media brings our community together with programs that inspire, inform, and entertain. Enjoy trusted news, local performances, educational resources, and cultural treasures all in one place. It's more than media. It's a connection to the world around you. Discover what Buffalo Toronto Public Media offers at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Whether you're here for the headlines, the harmonies, or the next great song, you're in the right place. We've brought all our stations together under one name, Buffalo Toronto Public Media, BTPM NPR, BTPM Classical, BTPM The Bridge, BTPM PBS. Unique voices, one connected home for public media. New name, same great content. Discover more at btpm.org.
BTPM NPR's Disabilities Beat promotes awareness and inclusivity, amplifies underrepresented voices, and holds corporations and governments accountable.
So I'm wondering, what assurance can you offer consumers that these problems won't repeat in New York?
Hear reports from the Disabilities Beat, hosted by Emily Watkins every Wednesday on BTPM NPR during Morning Edition and All Things Considered. BTPM Disabilities Beat is funded in part by the Peter and Elizabeth Tower Foundation.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversation that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Welcome to What's Next, the show where we sit down with changemakers, artists, thinkers, and community builders who are reshaping our world one conversation at a time. I'm your host, Naila Ansari Cotillo, and today we are joined by someone whose work is between mental health, creativity, and emotional truth, our guest, Dorian Winthrow Jr. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're a Buffalo-based author, counselor, and creator whose unique blend of storytelling and emotional literacy has resonated far beyond our city. And you're here with some amazing news. You have some animation coming on.
Yeah.
That's getting ready to be in the works. And, you know, the work that you've been doing is really profound, is particularly in mental health. So I'm excited to have you here today.
I appreciate it.
So how do you manage? I'm going to just kind of put all of the business out there, work being a counselor, a writer, martial artist, and now animator. How do you get all of these to interact together with mental health?
Well, you have to be very willing to put aside a lot of free time, time that you would put away for luxury, like, to, you know, just scroll on the phone or, you know, to binge watch something. Taking that time, transitioning it over into martial arts, even after you came from class, putting it into your aspirations to create an animated series, even when you are going to internship, you know. So that's how I approach just using the time we would have for ourselves, but towards work to fulfill ourselves and free time.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, you get that outlet because sometimes when you're dealing with really heavy mm-hmm. things, you have to figure out the creative way to find healing, which we'll yeah. definitely dive into today. I wanted to get into, you know, we'll go right into it and go straight from the heart. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about grief and suicide and emotional pain. I know you've written two books already, but can you kind of tell us where you're seeing our communities as far as grief and suicide, particularly we had 514. So I know, you know our communities are still, you know, trying to, you know, heal through that. So can you talk a little bit about that, the grief and suicide in our community here?
Okay. I think it's okay to talk about this. I was talking with some doulas mm-hmm. Wednesday, and they were probably the best group I've talked to this year. They brought home a lot of important insights into grief, but one of the most touching ones was that grief is just heavily ignored. Mm-hmm. That people don't want to feel sadness. They don't want to feel shame or maybe guilt. Whatever emotion comes up related to someone who is close to whoever dies. And with them, I was talking about grief and how it manifests and, you know, what it looks like in each of us in different ways, children and teens. But like the hard hitting points were that, you know, just keep on pushing. Don't worry about it. And, you know, I just got to keep moving forward. Don't talk about it. And when some of them talked about their individual processes when it came to grief, they started crying probably for the first time related to particular mm-hmm. relatives who had, or people that were close to them who had died. And why is it just that day that that happened and not why was it, you know, what happened earlier to where mm-hmm. it just wasn't, and parents aren't talking about it. It's kind of just push it off to the side. There's no teaching on grief, what it looks like within us and how we should resolve it. And so that's why I really wanted to put this presentation together. And I'm giving it twice now, and it's been very fruitful through and through. And so part of my mission is to combat a lot of the silent issues in our society. Mm-hmm. And I hope that I deliver that to the best of my ability.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit before we got on air about suicide and, mm-hmm. you know, how that affects our communities. And there's a, you know, kind of a big population that's kind of living this life alone. They are not really communicating, or they're communicating with AI. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, suicide in our communities and what that means and, you know, ways that we can kind of understand how we can help people or identify when people may be suicidal?
I have one strong way. I don't think it's like the bread and butter of every issue for suicide, but I had a recent passing of a relative. I've had two suicides of friends in the past who, you know, college and not, and they, it was like all this year. Mm. So this concept of death has been a little more on my mind, and I had a recent article where I'd written with a couple other counselors and like social workers. The common theme that we had was community. Mm. We had unity. It was coming together, and maybe not as simple as that, but this concept of invisibility. These people think that, or well, sometimes these people think that who are having suicidal ideation or follow through with it, they're alone. Like their problems are theirs. And, you know, it's kind of that, I'm the only one going through this kind of thing. Nobody cares. And not to disapprove of or invalidate them, sometimes that's the case. Other times, not so much. But in the article, I had expressed a very important point: to have unity, to have that person in your corner or people in your corner to help address the issues you have, to have an ear, to know that you're seen and heard, to know that you have somebody or people that you can rely on. Another person put in the article, you know, resources, being a bridge to different places where we are weak. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the answers, but we can direct you to somebody that can deal with the clothing food insecurity, financial concerns, or if it's simply genuine mental health related things, you know, who's this person you can go to? And since the recent funeral I had, I was like, maybe I should get my little cousins out a little bit more and have some fun. Mm-hmm. And so we went to, we did like Fright World, and then we did, most recently had fun at an arcade. And I grabbed several of them, and we just had a time. You know, they really enjoyed themselves. And I pressed this because that bonding that we have with our family is very important. Mm-hmm. If you can get that, or if you have friends just as well, coworkers at work, if that's your family, go for that. But have time to spend together so that you have quality relationships for those times that are hard. And you have these people in your corner to help you deal with a lot of your issues. And that message is a little more opposed to like parents or grandparents, because family systems break apart. Mm-hmm. And part of the hierarchy of needs is like having that sense of community. And when that's out of line, other things kind of fall out of line as well. Because we need each other. We need support systems.
Absolutely. Yeah. And within that community, you use creativity as a form of healing. Can you speak a little bit to the pathways and some of the work that you're doing to help guide and heal our communities?
Writing primarily, who knew? And so poetry, for me, it's a lot of people don't have outlets. They don't have a way of just like releasing what they're feeling inside, what's been pressing on their mind. And this falls in line with people not noticing them, invisibility and things like that. A lot of people are just holding stuff in. How can we find a creative way to express what we feel? Have other people in the same space doing the same thing. And the beauty about it is not me facilitating like creative writing, like a story or making a dialogue, but it's everybody having their own input for each other and finding their own solutions. And I find that's the beauty of it too, with working with groups. And that way I work out with dialogue writing and poetry, the way of self-expression, along different topics, to help them, you know, find their own conclusions about the problems they've experienced, or if they can be that person for somebody else to help them find that, you know, resolution to whatever issue that they have. But yeah, that's how I go about it.
And you recently got into animation.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about how you shifted to animation and the moment that you realized that some of these stories can help in that healing outside of maybe the traditional counseling that you typically been doing?
Kids need it. And I'm like, I wanted to branch out to reach a different audience as well. My thing is that a lot of these schools have like such reports of high suspension rates, detention, fighting or whatever, maybe not even just here, but in other places. They're not learning the stuff that they should for interpersonal skills, conflict resolution, grief, for just becoming like what it takes to become a better human being for the people around us. And so that we're not taking in the bad stuff and pervading with that to the people near us. And so for my animation goal right now is I used my books to make scripts. And in those, we touch on a lot of things like, materialism. Mm-hmm. We touch on a lot of things related to grief, for instance. I don't want to hit that home too much, but and then there's things related to dealing with issues with friends. Mm-hmm. How do you talk to somebody? If you need to help somebody, how do you get there? And even the person hard to reach, what is the route you should take for that? So it takes on these two series. It takes on these characters who are, one series is a little younger. This person, name is Jessica. And she's this word of wisdom for other people. But at times she has her own issues that are very obvious. And there are other people around that help her see the light in a different way and help her get to a point where this problem isn't a problem by the end of the episode. We talked a little bit about how, you know, a lot of these movies or shows kind of present the issue with no solution. And that's where I break the barrier with that. Like, I want to break that wall. And right now I got the trailers done for both and At the moment, the goal is I want to connect with some studio managers or executives to see what work looks like in the future. And I'm excited, so I'm going to start promoting on that. Well, I'm doing it now, but later on too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to being able to see it and share it. So, mm-hmm. you know, make sure you send it to us so we can get it out as well. I wanted to touch a little bit more. You mentioned scripts. I wanted to talk about television mm-hmm. and how dark television and film have become. How do you speak to people where they can figure out an outlet? Because a lot of times most people are using, you know, Netflix and streaming services yeah. and movies to get out, to get away from, you know, day-to-day trauma. But when they're watching it, what ways can they figure out, you know, okay, I'm doing this for an outlet, but yet what I'm watching is also traumatic. How do we figure out ways to kind of get out of this loop of the entertainment industry and how dark it has become?
My father always told me what you see on TV is entertainment. And we have to keep that in mind. But what we absorb is what we become, what internalizes, like what shapes our thinking in ways that we may not perceive if we're not so self-aware. And on the opposite end, what are you doing for yourself to help you resolve the issues you have, to become a better person, to become healthier, financially stronger? And my go-to advice for this kind of thing is, like, you know, do what you've always wanted to do. I haven't snowboarded since 2017, 2016. I wasn't very good at it. Now, it was rough and tumble the whole time. I went down the bunny hill one successful time. That was my only time doing it.
Well, you're facing your fears, right? Yeah.
And I want to go back and I want to do it again. So I was like, February when things are, maybe January. February is a little too cold. It's like -5 3 weeks out of the month. So for me, it's like, I've always wanted to do Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's an outlet. I'm exercising, I'm punching, kicking stuff, getting my, you know, nerves right for whatever I got to do later. If I'm feeling anxious or if I'm mad or if I'm sad, I know I go there and I don't feel the same when I leave. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the same as hours prior when catastrophe was happening. Writing for me, I found that in high school and I stuck with it. It's a way for me to release, to get my thoughts through, to organize them. And as I put them down, hopefully reconcile some things for myself, come to some new conclusions, bring on new self-awareness. What you do with that, you use it to grow. You use it to no longer do the things you used to, or implement something new so that you can improve it, or, you know, have a resolution to. So that's my advice.
Yeah. I've found a huge interest online with kids and social media and the mm-hmm. impact that it has on their mental health, and just doing research on that. And, you know, more often, you know, younger adults and adults in general are going and using AI and social media as an outlet for mental health. What are your ideas on that? Do you think it's helpful? Do you think it is, you know, it's creating more of an issue in mental health because they're talking to someone who's not necessarily there and also not a professional? What are your thoughts on social media and AI with particularly the younger generation for mental health?
I think that I want to compliment AI for first bringing about some positive elements to help somebody resolve something. On the other hand, AI does not know you as a human being. AI does not know the way your thoughts work. It does not know the way your family works. Are you going to type out a whole, you know, dissertation length thing for AI to know you? Like, no, this is what people are for. And there's context and nuances to whatever you're dealing with. People relate to that. People have certain specific experiences that AI cannot produce. And with that, we look at that and we kind of separate the human and the AI. So do you want to go with somebody who's better accommodated for understanding your issues, specifics, the nuances that you're dealing with? And maybe some epiphany that that person has about your issues that's like, oh, you know what? This is the very thing. I thought it was this, but it's not this. And often people go to counseling and it's, they think it's one issue, mm-hmm. but there's this underlying layer of issues or issue that lead people to be like, oh, this is my problem. I thought it was X, Y, and Z, but it was A, B, and C. And AI just can't do that, you know? So it has its ups, but it has its downs in the way that you're not getting what you completely need holistically from someone who's a counselor versus AI.
Yeah. Do you find that there's younger people that are searching for counselors, or do you find that it tends to be kind of a middle-aged demographic that are interacting with counselors?
I think that in my work, I've seen a lot of older folks. Mm-hmm. If they're younger than like 15, for example, it's usually like parents bringing them in. Mm-hmm. I think with the mental health wave that's going on now, I do think that a lot of younger people are putting that conversation out there. They're really presenting a lot of things. I find that the older someone is in terms of like, you know, talking like 40s and up or like 50s and up, they're a little more resistant to counseling. Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks, I push it. You know, it shouldn't have to be a mandate. It shouldn't have to be, you know, you shouldn't have to wait too long to get to it.
Right.
But I think a lot of younger people are like really getting into it just because of the conversations on social media. The, you know, the pursuit to, you know, like, I didn't know this was a problem and now I do know. What do I do about it? You have so many voices talking about counseling and this and that. But I would be cautious of what's out there because not everybody, you know, suitable to, you know, do what they actually say and things like
podcasts.
That.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, the people are turning to a lot of podcasts to get information. And many times, most of them are not experts.
They're just as hurt as you are.
Yeah, right. you know, people that have just experienced some things and give their opinions about it. So it's important to make sure that you get informed and you do have those counselors. Can you speak a little to our community here and the importance of mental health and importance of having mental health facilitators, whether they be counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists. Can you speak a little bit to that and why it might be important for more people to engage with mental health professionals?
Yeah, it's a need in general. I think that there are a lot of risk factors that our children go through, teens go through, and we often wait too long to actually get some help for somebody. We take a lot of time to work against resolving an issue. And it's not like really getting us many places. Like for me, I have a strong suit for self-improvement. I have a strong suit for, you know, resolving the conflicts. Recently, it's a little more grief. And when we want to look for folks who are going to facilitate, we want, you know, to make sure that they know what they're talking about, the education. You want proof, like, is this person done this and can they do it well? And representation is also another point. Mm-hmm. Can this boy that looks like me with locks or skin tone, whatever it may be, can they see themselves in my shoes and think like, oh, this is doable. This person is similar to me. This person is relatable. There's also cultural context as to like, you know, you got these folks who haven't lived in certain shoes or don't even visit certain areas of the city talking to these folks about X, Y, and Z. And that's when we get into the nitty gritty of, you know, like who is giving this information and in what way, and then how well do they relate to these people that they're giving the information to? How real do they make it for them based off of cultural context? And that's kind of how I see it. You know, education, to know what they're talking about, representation, and I think that's one of the ways to do it.
Absolutely. Now, you've, some folks may not know, you've been a What's Next All-Star in Producers Pick, so you've been on a couple times. What do you have the courage to say now that you may have not said the first few times you've been on our show?
I honestly don't have an answer. Like, last year, I thought about, I was like, you know what, I could, but I was in, like, with school, you just, it's hard to, like, want to do anything.
Right.
And then it was just like, I didn't have much to say. So I was like, maybe next year. But I got a book coming out next week. So I was like, you know what? Let me touch on what that book talks about and kind of help people see a different light to things, get different perspectives. And I graduated, you know, so now I'm like, you know, I got this knowledge and I'm like, you know, let me give this. Part of my thing is too, like, breaking the barriers to information.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand gatekeepers. And for me, it's like, I just want to fill this gap of, like, people are suffering, but it's behind a paywall. People are suffering, but X, Y, and Z can't get through a certain space because of favoritism and communal nepotism and all that stuff. So for me, it's like, you know, information is important. That's how we grow. That's how we improve, break generational curses. And yeah, so that's part of my mission. But yeah, I don't have a solid answer for
that. Well, that's courageous not to gatekeep. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, you know, and especially in the mental health field, because while it's progressively getting large, it's also a very small niche kind of community where people want to make sure, you know, they're having the most impact. And so not to gatekeep that kind of information, because you're right, the paywall is significant. You know,
what I told, I was October sessions. I did like a 4-part series for that. And I told them, I'm like, you guys got a lot of what I had to pay for in a very short time, but you got in a concise manner. And I think you got the gist of it, but enough to help you start your way and practice these things and move on. I actually had, so my uncle brought his daughter and he had sent me a video, I think the day later or a couple of days later. And I think the same night she was practicing the breathing exercises we were going through. And I was like, this is what I do it for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what I do it for. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No. That was great. I mean, to share, be able to share that information and make sure that people have it, because then they share it amongst other folks, and then you create that ripple effect of healing, which is wonderful. As we wrap up here, I wanted to know, what do you think about our communities here in Buffalo, and what do you believe is next for us?
What I want to see is a lot of this gatekeeping, resources pulled into places that need to be pulled into, not restricted from certain groups that need them. And, you know, really working towards combating specific issues related to what the community experiences, either in schools, hospitals, like the doulas brought up a lot of, you know, our mothers dying and having issues or concerns ignored, or, you know, I think the things like that. And, you know, having these programs like really touch on what these kids are missing in home, not just math, but what are they learning in terms of morals? What are they getting out of this so that they become the best, competent, functional, successful adults that we could ever see? And that's where I come from.
Absolutely. Well, Dorian, can you tell folks where you can be reached and how we can get more information about you?
Oh yeah, my website, dswjr.com. Dorian Withrow Jr., that's basically all my social media handles. And got a new book coming out, Poetic Epiphany, How to Find Peace, that'll release Tuesday, November 25th. And on a regular basis, I try my best to share content that I've been doing that relates to conflict resolution, that relates to grief, that relates to being more mindful and regulating emotions. So I hope I can be a gift to the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dorian, thank you for your honesty, your presence, and the work you offer to our community. Here, your commitment to emotional literacy and creative healing is something our communities deeply need. For our listeners, you can find Dorian's books, Thoughts of Creativity and King and Don't Be a Cactus. And the most recent book that will be coming out November 25th. So we'll make sure we'll get your website on there as well. And you can, and they're at wherever books are sold, correct? The books can
you look on the website, look at, it's Barnes & Noble's Books A Million, Amazon, other, sellers like that. It's kind of, it's out there, so.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for updates on Dorian's upcoming animated series. I'm Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and this has been What's Next. Stay with us. There's always more to discover and always more to build together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.